It's hard to believe we're this far on, Tom, and really no one still knows what's going on.
It certainly is, and it seems to be getting a muddier water by the week almost. I don't think there's any clarity from anybody or any great understanding of exactly what the implications of Brexit are or what Brexit will mean either for Britain, for Ireland or for Europe. I don't think there's any great clarity yet on what type of border there will be, what type of tariffs there will be in place, what level of free movement of people or trade there will be after Brexit. But depending on who you listen to, there's either going to be less change than we're all afraid of or absolute change. And I suppose there doesn't seem to be anybody who can give clarity as to where the balance in that lies, unfortunately.
I'm not really sure, even at this stage, if the British government, for instance, know what's going on or what will go on as it relates to us.
I have no confidence that the British government do know what's going on, not only in relation to us, but even in relation to themselves. And it depends on which voices you listen to within the Conservative Party in Britain, and it almost appears to which audience that Theresa May is speaking. That depends on how hardline she becomes and how whether she takes a very right-wing Britain is great and will survive without Europe, or whether she takes a more conciliatory view that we still need to have some negotiations and we need to have some sort of open border. I don't believe that anybody in Britain has an opinion. I presume that there's quite a bit of stance has been taken there in terms of getting ready for negotiations, but people are just trying to draw lines in the sand initially before the negotiations start, but I don't believe that there's any great clarity on the British side. What worries me more is I don't think there's any great concern in Britain, despite what's been said in the media, about what will happen, particularly in the north of Ireland, and what will happen with the British-Irish relationship. If you look at, for example, just the optics of it, when the Minister for State, Mr. Brokenshire, was discussing the collapse of the institutions in the north through the day, and they were discussing, obviously, parts of Brexit, the British House of Parliament were empty, other than the few representatives from the parties in the north of Ireland. Mm. There was very, very few people there from Greater Britain, if you like, because I think they've got scant regard for... Well, I think they've always had scant regard for the north of there, to be honest, but they've got certainly scant regard for the north and for Ireland.
Looking at the bigger picture and where priorities will lie from looking at it from a British point of view, we, of course, had the resignation of Martin McGuinness last week and its ramifications, which we can talk about as well. But what I did notice is the likes of BBC News, Sky News... Yes, it made the ticker running along the bottom of the screen, but it didn't seem to be big news. It certainly wasn't headline news.
Absolutely not.
So, do you know where I'm going with this, Tom?
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I think that Britain has a discussion to have about Brexit that they think is very much focused on the British mainland and British trade. I don't think they have given anything like the concern or the consideration that they need to give to the situation in the north of Ireland, in the situation in the Republic of Ireland, certainly the situations around the border areas. One of the things that did become apparent the other day from the Good Friday Agreement, listening to our representatives in the door, was that whilst there are a lot of people talking about some of the macro issues without any great level of understanding, that there's very little talk about the actual reality and the micro issues of living in a border community with an imposed border that people can't even describe what it's going to be like yet. And there doesn't seem to have been any consideration of what that will actually mean in terms of free movement of people or life or the ability to cross the border at all for people in the border areas or people in the Republic of Ireland or the north of Ireland. I don't think that the British have given any consideration as to what that actually means. I don't think they've even given great consideration as to the significance to the north for trade, for example. The agriculture sector in the north of Ireland is worth in excess of $4 billion. Which to us sounds like a phenomenal amount of money, but doesn't seem to feature in the British. There's over...
Nothing compared to the oil in Scotland, for instance.
Well, nothing compared to that, but if you take that there's 40% of all lamb produced in the north is exported to the Republic of Ireland for processing, that's over 1,000 lambs a day. There's something upwards of over 50% of milk that's produced in the north by dairy farmers is exported to the Republic of Ireland for processing. The tariffs will be imposed upon the dairy producers and the agriculture producers of beef, lamb and other goods, if that is to be imported into the south to continue for processing. That's a massive, massive part of the Northern Irish economy. It is a huge part of the Republic of Ireland economy as well, because obviously that trade is done across both sides of the country. And that doesn't feature because, as you rightly say, it compares not one dot compared to oil in the north of Scotland.
Are you concerned also that as the negotiations, we are reaching that point, you know, they talk about triggering it before the end of March. The conversation, though, will it not, in political circles in Northern Ireland, will mostly be about election and re-election.
Absolutely.
So there's voices that have been lost to this debate, arguably.
Absolutely. I think that's regrettable. And I think whilst it was probably necessary for the actions that were taken by Martin McGuinness during the week, I think he did what he felt he needed to do to discuss some issues within the power-sharing environment in the north. There is absolutely the fact that there will be party politics played and there will be what we have, we hold, and politicians will become more focused on getting re-elected than maybe being part of a much more serious negotiation that needs to be part of. And I think that there are party lines as to why the vote in the north was the way it was. I mean, it appeared that unionism largely voted to stay in its relationship with Britain rather than its relationship with Europe, and obviously nationalism voted to stay with its relationship with Europe. And I think it'll be sad if it's just a party line drawn that becomes the education of the people or the discussion within the people, because Brexit and the implications for the north and the south of Ireland are much more great, are much, much, much more significant than party politics across the north.
Now, there was representations made down in the Dáil this week, or did it go that far? What happened?
Yes, representatives of our group met with the Good Friday Agreement Implementation Committee this week, and they were received extremely well. The Good Friday Agreement Implementation Committee, as you know, has representatives from all parties, but in the south and in the north, and they were all present, and they all did say they took on the views of our representatives quite strongly, and they said they would make representations to both the British and the Irish government about our concerns about what needs to be discussed.
Mm.
Part of what was really focused on that was the farming industry, was the fact that, for example, the farmers are no longer guaranteed their continued funding post 2020, but they'll still have the same regulations imposed on them in the north as they have in the south. That's been a major concern. But in reality, there's the concern of what is it like in the ground living in a border area. There was a discussion or a question raised, could we have electronic borders as there are in other parts of Europe? But there's over 300 border crossings.
Plus they're borders. They are borders, you know, and what are borders there for? You know what I mean?
Like,
it's
exactly.
you can't say we can't sort of disregard them as not being borders. So, Tom, I mean, you know, just to wrap up here, the Irish government are really the key negotiators for the north, then, really.
They essentially are. I mean, there has been soundings which have come from members of the British Tory Party which have said that the leadership for the Brexit issue in the island of Ireland needs to come from Dublin. I think there is a very, very strong case for us to discuss an all-Ireland economy with single tariffs and single exposure to and chances to trade within Europe. Because I know there are lots and lots of papers which have been written which say there are efficiencies in that. And that's not a political statement about United Ireland. That's saying, look, for God's sake, there is an economic necessity for us to have one economy across the north and the south. I think the drive for that and the understanding for that has to come from the north, from the Republic of Ireland, from the Dáil. I'm not quite sure that they fully understand it. And I think that the Dáil needs to have much, much stronger representation in Brussels and saying, look, we have to secure a special status relationship for the Republic and the north of Ireland within Europe.
Okay.
That we can't have this. There are people in Europe who are becoming absolutely as hard-lined as certain of the right-wing Tories are, and they're saying, you know, we want absolutely no special case for anyone in Ireland. We want a proper, full, militarised border. We want complete lockdown. We don't want any exposure to an open border.
I mean, it has to be made difficult for Britain, or there could be a mass exodus from the European Union. I mean,
absolutely.
That's the reality. You can't have special deals. You can't look good, because next thing Italy are out. And
absolutely.
You know.
And people say we're coming to the year of decision this year because there is discussions that's going to happen in Austria, France and Italy, which, of course, they're looking at how well Britain fares. And if Britain gets a soft ride in its exit from Europe, then, of course, other major European players will say there's a huge danger to the European project. So Europe has to circle its wagons and has to secure things. And again, I think that's why we have to say, well, the island of Ireland is in Europe. and the island of Ireland can be supportive of that European decision to be secure and to close its borders, but it's much easier to border the island with the sea around us than it is to start sticking militarised borders along the roads from Louth to Donegal.
Yeah, okay.
There are over 300 crossings. There was a discussion about whether we could just have electronic borders using cameras, but I think we all know from the days of the past that the level of which smuggling was kept down, even when there was a proper border, was extremely inefficient. There's absolutely no way that we could manage that as it is, and that's the movement of people, that's the movement of goods. So I think Europe will take a very dim view of that sort of approach. And I do think that we require, as a country, we require stronger representation in Europe to say that we need a special status. And I actually think locally within Donegal, and this is something that's a huge concern to me in the microcosm of the thing, is that we need some sort of support from the government for Donegal. I have spoken to some hauliers who deliver to my business who've told me that there's no way they're going to deliver direct from Dublin to Letterkenny anymore if they've got to cross a border twice and they've got to go through customs twice and all the delays that puts on couriers. We all know that time is money, particularly in the haulier business. And they're saying, well, they'll have to circumvent the border and go a much longer route, so therefore my minimum cost of goods for free delivery is going to go up, or my cost of goods is going to go up full stop and that they'll charge me to deliver.
Which means the costs to the consumer go up, and I think
absolutely.
Really that's the people need to get that into their heads, and that this
people do
will hit them in the pocket
that.
Potentially.
Yeah, in the small towns and villages of Donegal, people need to understand that their cost of living is going to go up because of Brexit.
All right.
And people haven't got that idea yet, especially if there's tariffs imposed of imports, if we actually have to take things in from the north, because there's a significant amount of trade done across from the north of Ireland to the Republic of Ireland, even in retail. A lot of my colleagues and myself would source an awful lot of purchase of our goods in Belfast. If that's hit with a 23% import tax, that essentially gets passed on to consumers. It reduces the competitiveness of all the small businesses in retail in Ireland if we end up having those impositions. But ultimately, the consumer in Donegal will pay more.
Okay.
Donegal tourism will be affected as well for exactly the same reasons. Somebody said to me from the north only this morning, a man speaking to me from Armagh who's part of our group, he said, sure, you'll end up being a bigger wasteland than we are.
Scary thought, Tom. Scary thought.
It was a very scary thought.
Listen, thank you very much for the update. Interesting.
No problem.
All right, then. Thanks, that's Tom Murray there. Donegal businessman, of course, and a member of that group concerned about Brexit, and it's coming down the line.